Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35, Pew Bible, page 1027. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Let's pray. O Lord Christ, our Savior dear, bless us and be near us. Grant us now a glad new year. Amen, Jesus. Hear us. Amen. Please be seated. Mine is a story of faithfulness rewarded. It's a tale that takes place where happy endings and hopeful beginnings come together. To hear my story and to delight in it is to discover one more gift under the Christmas tree, just when you figured that your celebration of Christmas was complete. I am Simeon. I am the last of this year's Advent and Christmas guest preachers, privileged to be here in your midst at St. Paul's in Muskegon. My story begins in the temple at Jerusalem, one of the busiest places on earth. Platoons of priests hurry back and forth, tending to their sacred duties. Patriotic pilgrims arrive from the four points of the compass, eager to see the magnificent temple and to offer to the Lord their God the sacrifices required of them. Here, within the Holy of Holies, the holiest place in all the temple, is where dwells the glory of God Most High. Here and here alone is where God can be truly worshiped. Here and here alone is where God promises to hear and answer prayer. Here and here alone does God accept the sacrifices of his people. I'm the one who met Mary and Joseph as they came into the temple in Jerusalem on the 40th day of their child's life, as they were fulfilling their requirement to present him to the Lord. I was the one who gathered this little boy up into my arms and praised God with what you today call Simeon's song. My song is one that you've been singing for centuries after you've had the privilege to kneel before the Lord's altar and eat and drink Jesus' real body and blood together with the bread and wine in the sacrament of Holy Communion. My song, Your song goes like this: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Some of your own people have called this scene in the temple Christmas with Grandpa. But you need to know, I wasn't always old. I was once young. And the life I lived was a life filled with God's grace. Some have called my life the life that was complete. My life was complete. Not only in the sense that it was a long life, but also, and more importantly, in the sense that there was a genuine quality to the life that God had given me. God had blessed me with God-fearing parents who loved him with all their heart and soul. And they loved the temple, the place where God's glory dwells. We lived our faith. Worship was our life. Whether we were at home or in the temple or elsewhere, our entire life revolved around worshiping the gracious and Lord God who had promised to save us. It was a good life. It was a complete life. I understand that there are many in your day who have slipped away from the church and from the things of God. They fill their hearts and their minds and their lives with other things, and to be honest with you, they are so much poorer for it. As far back as I can remember, I thrilled to hear the stories of God's people. People like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David and Daniel. These were the real heroes of my childhood years. Our pleasures were simple, to be sure. But as I look at your lives today and see how fast-paced they are, I think our lives were so much more meaningful. We took our time. We really appreciated the simple things of life. It was a difficult time for our country. My nation suffered politically, economically, and most of all, spiritually. Anyone who knows anything at all about the Israelite people knows that they were struggling and scattered constantly. I think the 400 years between the Old and New Testaments were the worst years, the most difficult years in my nation's history. They were dark days, desperate days, days of dispute and defeat and dominion, and even persecution because of our faith. In fact, there was one time when we were being ruled by the Syrian Seleucids that they forced us to offer pigs. Think of that, my friends, unclean pigs on the sacred and holy altar of our God in the temple. Let me tell you, this was the lowest point in the history of my people. During my own lifetime, we were ruled by the Romans. While the Roman government recognized and even sanctioned the practice of our faith, allowing us to carry out the customs and the ceremonies required by the law of Moses, they let us know in no uncertain terms that we were a people in bondage, a nation in slavery. But our biggest problem wasn't economic, nor was it political. No, our biggest problem is what happened to our religion. The covenant faith of our forefathers had morphed into a legalistic system, one that was being practiced outwardly, but with no inner conviction. It had become a matter of the head and the hands, and not of the heart. We were doing all the right things. We were doing them in all the right places. We were doing them at just the right times, but we were just going through the motions. Do you know what? Outward religion, often called legalism, has deadened the hearts of many today. How many of you here tonight have made your religion a matter of the head and of the hands, but not of the heart? You do all the right things. You show up at all the right times. You're in all the right places, but you're just going through the motions. Your heart is not in it. God's diagnosis through the prophet Isaiah puts the spotlight directly on the problem when he says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." And just as God's diagnosis is right on the money, so also is his remedy. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Getting back to my story, I can remember my parents lamenting over the spiritual condition of the nation. They were always praying that God would change the hearts of his people and reminding us kids that we had a God who keeps his promises, and that one day he would keep his promise to send the Messiah of the world. Religious life in our house was no mere formality. There was no hypocrisy, no pretense. It was our way of life. Well, I got old, as we all do. I don't know why, but as I got older, I seemed to mellow a little bit, and I like to say I got a bit wiser too. I found myself more and more praying the prayer that King David prayed in Psalm 90, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The passing of the years helped me to put my life into a proper perspective. I knew that, at least in terms of the average lifespan, the end of my life was drawing near. And not only was I sinful by nature, as are all of you, as is all of humanity, but in my lifetime I had committed countless sins against God and against others, as also have you, and for that I deserve to go to hell forever. Oh, how I longed for God to keep his promise, to send his Messiah. That was God's remedy for my sinfulness and my condemnation." By now, I was going to the temple 2-3 times a week. I can't quite tell you how I knew this, but I knew that before I died, I would see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. I would have the honor and joy of seeing him with my own two eyes, this Messiah, this Savior in the flesh. And since I was getting old and didn't know how much longer I had, I figured it had to be soon. The priests no longer even noticed me. I was some old codger who was living under some delusion as I waited there in the temple of the Lord. Even my family and friends told me to stop waiting for what Luke calls the consolation of Israel. But God had revealed it to me. And I want you folks to know that God keeps his promises. That's one of the things that you can celebrate tonight on this New Year's Eve. God has kept his promises to you. God cannot lie. The Messiah will come, and I, Simeon, will see him. On the day that Luke describes in his gospel, I couldn't suppress my smile, for God in his own way had revealed to me that this would be the day. God's Spirit also moved me to get to the temple early. And so I went and I waited. And then it happened. A couple came into the temple bringing their little child to do for him what God's law required. I could sense in this couple a real humility, and yet they were so proud of this little one that they were carrying. I could sense devotion and the depth of their faith, and somehow I knew. I just knew this was the one. I tentatively touched this little child and then tenderly gathered him up into my arms. He was as light as a feather. Tears started streaming down my cheeks, and my friends, I absolutely knew that nothing would ever be the same again. Can you imagine that? These frail fingers of flesh felt the face of the divine creator. These withered hands of clay held the word of God incarnate. These weary and weakened arms embraced him who is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God was as close to me as this baby in my arms. I knew now that I was ready to die. My heart was already in heaven. With my two eyes, I had seen the salvation of my soul, the glory of Israel, the light to the Gentiles, my prophet, my priest, my king, my God, my Savior, my all. And so I began to sing. I couldn't help myself but to sing this song of praise to God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen my salvation. But God's Spirit wasn't done. That Spirit who had told me I wouldn't die until I had seen the Lord's Christ, that Spirit who had moved me to get myself to the temple, that Spirit now moved me to prophesy. This child, I told his parents, is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. This 40-day-old baby in my arms would divide all of humanity. He would be the either-or figure of the entire human race. The one who would divide all people into one of two camps, those who are with him and those who are against him. My dear New Year's Eve pilgrims, through the eyes of faith, you too have seen your salvation. In his rich mercy and grace, God has revealed to you in this holy book what I was only allowed to hope for and to look ahead to. Using his powerful word and the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion, God has worked and sustained in your hearts a living faith in this Christ of Christmas. You know that this 40-day-old child didn't stay young. He became a man. And as a man, he went to the cross on Good Friday and back from the dead on Easter Sunday. This baby, grown up to be a man, was born into the world to bring God's heaven and God's peace to you. He lived and he suffered and he died a terrible death that you and I might be forgiven of our sins. And then he rose again from the dead, that you and I would never have to doubt that this is absolutely true and that we too one day will rise from the dead. Oh, how true it is that my song is your song. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I'm old and I'm tired, so I have to leave you now. But let me say just one more thing. As an old man, I've lived many years and I've seen many things. Don't just go through the motions. Live your faith. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Learn to sing my song, not only in word, but also in deed. For my song is a song that will carry you through the new year and through every year beyond that, to a new life with God forever in heaven. May the Lord God richly bless you in all your years to come. For Jesus' sake, amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. As witness to our Christian faith tonight, we join in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.